The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation. And back on Radio Row with Matt Miller of ESPN. And Matt, let's just dive in, right?
Yeah,
mock draft season, one of the best types of seasons we have here in this beautiful game of ours. In your most recent mock, at number 13 overall, the Las Vegas Raiders select quarterback J.J. McCarthy from Michigan.
Yeah.
A lot of fans very happy about this.
Good.
The Raiders in need of a quarterback, or I should say, in need of some quarterback competition, quarterback depth in that room. Yeah. What do you like about Mr. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think with J.J., it's a lot about ceiling, obviously. You know, two-year starter at Michigan, only lost one game, which that says a lot. And I know NFL teams are leaning more toward that. If they want someone who's experienced, they want someone who's been in a winning culture and knows how to bring that to the NFL. But on the field, what he brings, really good arm strength, really, really good mobility, a toughness to his game. He's not the biggest guy, 6'3", 200 pounds is what he's listed at. We'll see where he weighs in at this week. But he plays with a toughness that is infectious and that you love. You know, when a hole's there, whether it's as a runner or a thrower, he's not shy, he's not timid, he's aggressive as a quarterback. And I do think he's only going to continue to get better as he gets more reps, as he's asked to do more things, because Michigan's offense, they were amazing. And they've got 18 players here for a reason. They could just line up and run the ball and beat every team in the country. So he wasn't asked to throw the ball like a Caleb Williams or a Jaden Daniels. So I do think just the more experience he gets, the better he's going
to
become.
When you're kind of going through the evaluation of, quarterback's probably a good place to start this conversation. Like, what kind of stock do you put in a guy who's just won wherever he's gone, right?
Yeah,
like,
matters.
How do you kind of equate that when you're going through things?
It really does. And early in my career, I was like, QB wins. This isn't a real stat. And maybe it's not all on the quarterback, but I do think it speaks to that culture of you've been in a room where you understand the accountability that it takes to win. You understand what that feels like to be a winner every week and the work that you have to put in. So I do think that matters. And, we can look at someone like Joe Burrow, who, that last year at LSU went on a run. They didn't lose a single game, and you immediately go into the NFL and have that success. C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, I think they lost four games this whole time at Ohio State. Go to Houston, and you turn that culture around so quickly. So I do think it matters, especially when we're talking about college prospects. In the college game, you have so much riding on you as a quarterback, and so I would rather have a guy who's won more games than lost more games, obviously. And with J.J. especially, because you do have the physical tools, the mental tools, the intangibles are all there.
You know, we heard from Tom Telesco earlier this afternoon. I'm sure there was some element of him playing coy and obviously keeping his cards close to his chest. But he said, when you're talking about the quarterbacks, he goes, 32 teams are going to evaluate these guys 32 different ways. And he goes, I don't know if there's necessarily a consensus, tier system for the guys coming out this year. But when you look at the quarterbacks this year, obviously you think very highly J.J. McCarthy goes in the top 13. A guy like Caleb Williams, Daniels, like, how do you kind of break out the tiers, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I mean, for what Tom's doing, it's different. You're not going to put them in tiers. For what we do, I think it's a really good visual way to explain to readers kind of how we see them. So I think Caleb Williams is clear by himself. Like, he's the guy. I'm sorry he won't be there, right? It would be great if he was. It'd be so much fun. He's not going to be there. I think Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in this class. What he brings to the table as a runner and a thrower, it's really special. Back-to-back over 1,000 yards rushing in the SEC. This year is a deep passer, unparalleled accuracy, touch, success down the field. So he would be my number two. Drake May, I think, again, we're talking about a guy with potential. There's some things he's got to clean up in his game, especially in terms of, lower body mechanics. Want to see him process a little bit faster. But arm talent, mobility are through the roof good. So he's kind of in that next tier. I think J.J. slides in right below that. And then we get someone like, I still like Bo Nix. I know, like, that's not a name a lot of people are throwing out
Resident
there.
Resident Oregon guy, I'm with
Nix
you.
I'm a Bo Nix fan. And I thought, being at the Senior Bowl, watching Bo get there Tuesday, Wednesday, every day he's getting better. And I can remember watching Josh Allen at the Senior Bowl thinking the same thing of, like, that first day wasn't your best day. And then the next day was better. And the day after that was better. Jalen Hurts was the same way. That is my big thing with quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. I want to see you get better every day. Take that coaching. Get used to the wide receivers. Get used to the NFL football. Get used to the weather in Alabama. And improve every day. Bo Nix did that. And so I think he belongs in that first-round conversation.
It's interesting, too. And both Tom and AP have been asked a lot. And they will continue to be asked over the course of the next couple months about what it would take for them to trade up, right? To go from 13 to hypothetically 4 or to 5 or something like that. Like, how do you kind of, if you're Tom Telesco, kind of balance that okay, we really like this guy, but it seems like there has to be kind of a finite price where you go, anything after this, I have to respectfully kind of bow out.
Especially for a GM who, when he was with the Chargers, did not trade up. You know, they were allergic to it. They never did it. So I think you have to balance it of where is our roster at? Where's our roster if we don't have first-round picks for the next 3 years? You know, is Jaden Daniels, who obviously Coach Pierce has a great connection with, is Jaden Daniels worth not having first-round picks the next 2 years? You know, I think that's ultimately the conversation. And you do have to draw that line in the sand of, hey, we've got a Hall of Fame receiver in Devontae Adams. Maybe we bring Josh Jacobs back. We've got, some guys on the offensive line. Jaden Daniels can make this team a playoff contender. If you feel that way, then I think it's worth it to have that guy, to know for the next 15 years we don't have to worry about the quarterback position. Yeah, that's worth a couple first round picks. You know, you guys have to deal with a kid in Kansas City who has changed that dynamic entirely. So, but I do think you have to know your roster really well. And you have to, I think this is where it helps to have a veteran general manager with a first time head coach of saying, hey, here's what this process looks like. Here's how we evaluate our roster. Here's where we project things to be in 24, 25, 26 to where can we even consider making that move?
And you talk about that roster evaluation. We heard from Tom again earlier this afternoon, and he was talking about some of the challenges about the offensive line in 2023. Yep. It certainly seems like an area the Raiders at some point will address in the draft. But I'm curious in that first round, right? And everyone loves talking about the quarterbacks, and if it falls this type of way. But I'm an old school boring guy. Give me the big fellas up front.
Absolutely.
On both sides of the football. Who is a guy at 13 possibly? Is there one in terms of the offensive line or defensive line that you think could be a fit for what the Raiders want to do?
Yeah, you know what's funny about this year is we're going to see three quarterbacks and three wide receivers come off the board so fast that we could be talking about the second best offensive tackle or the best defensive tackle still being on the board for the Raiders at 13. So I am absolutely in love with Talise Fuaga. I know you're an Oregon guy, so I'm sorry I'm Oregon State here, but Fuaga is, put him opposite Colton Miller, and you could have one of the best bookend duos in the NFL because of Fuaga's movement ability at 330 pounds. His power in the run game is amazing. Now, on the defensive side, Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, I think would fit this defense perfectly. And you want to free up Max Crosby to just cause more problems for everyone. Put Byron Murphy next to him, and I don't know how you defend those two guys side by side, because Murphy's first step burst is tremendous, and he is just pound for pound, his strength is amazing. I mean, you can watch him on tape against like Alabama, and he's just moving dudes wherever. And he's 6'1", 310 pounds. You don't expect that power from him, but he can play anywhere from nose on out to 5-tech. And again, when you have a Max Crosby, if you can get a 3-tech that can penetrate, you have a beautiful problem for every offensive line in the NFL.
You know, we spend so much time for good reason on day one and day two of the NFL draft, but when you kind of look at this class in totality, right, from round one all the way to the end of day three, what are some of the position groups that we as fans need to be keyed on? Like, hey, this is a air quotes deep group this year.
Yeah, especially for you guys, because Josh Jacobs pending free agency, running back is a really deep group, but it's just not in the first or second round. It's really deep in the third round. I have six running backs with a third round grade. I have eight running backs with a fourth round grade. So like, that's where this kind of the meat and potatoes of this draft is. Running back, linebacker, and safety are going to be really deep in rounds three and four. So those are obvious positions of need. I think for almost any team, you want to add depth at running back. We saw how important linebacker was in the Super Bowl with Nick Bolton and Fred Warner out there making plays. So that's I think where you can find really, really good value this year is at those spots.
Well, Matt, before we let you go, make me a little bit smarter. This is my favorite game. I love people that can do this. Give me like a day three guy. I don't want someone who everyone knows. Make me smarter. Yeah. A guy that you really like that I can tell my buddies when I'm sitting around having a beer, hey, this is a guy to keep an eye on in 2024.
Javon Baker is I've been asked this a couple of times. Javon Baker is my go-to Central Florida wide receiver. I'm probably talking him up enough. Maybe he won't even be there on day three anymore, but I love his ability. He had a fantastic Senior Bowl week. And, coming from UCF, you're not necessarily playing against the Alabamas and Georgias every week. He did at the Senior Bowl, and I think he was one of the best receivers there. So he's a player. If I were running a team, we would have him circled of, like, we got to find a way to get this player.
Awesome. Well, there we go. So now, hopefully, in a few months' time, I will feel smarter and I feel,
there we
feel
go. When he gets
more
drafted,
dialed in.
Yes. That's my guy.
Well, we'll clip it, right, Sam? We're going to clip this right here, and we'll feel really smart in a few months. Well, Matt, continued success. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.